The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan and Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. Today, we'll attempt to sort out the good information from the bad and set the record straight on your good health. Healthcare and wellness issues can be so confusing these days with information constantly changing. Let us help you learn what you need to know. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Neil Nathan with co-host Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum.
Welcome to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, and I'm joined by my good friend and co-host, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. I'd also like to thank our sponsors, Research Nutritionals, BioResource, Frequency Specific Microcurrent, Real Time Laboratories, and Natural Immunogenics for making this program possible. Since I personally use these products daily in my practice, as our program unfolds, I'll be mentioning some of those products when appropriate. We're live. So if you have any questions, you can call us at 1-866-472-5792. I'd also like listeners to know that we now have our own Facebook page, The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. Please like us and share us. I'd also like to remind you that you can download the Voice America mobile app, and you can find us on iTunes, Google Playtime, and Kindle, all for free. Now, without further ado, I'd like to introduce to you our guest today, who is Dr. Joel Friedman. He's a family physician, been practicing in Kula, Maui, for many years, studied and incorporated a wide array of healing concepts into his practice, which integrates the physical with the spiritual, emotional, and energetic aspects of healthcare. And he's been one of my best friends for over 30 years. So, Joel, welcome to our program.
Thank you very much. Thrilled to be here.
Thank you. So, since we are, our guest is from the glorious islands of Hawaii, and our co-host lives there, today we were going to talk about something a bit unusual, a bit less technical than what we normally do. Today we're going to talk about some of these spiritual aspects of healing. And here on the islands of Hawaii, the spiritual tradition has been for many years the kahuna system of medicine. Back when I personally moved to Hawaii back in the 90s, actually my job was to try to integrate kahuna medicine into the hospital medicine at Kanakakai General Hospital. The Native Hawaiian Health Care Act had just been passed, and we attempted to do that. Unfortunately, before I took the job, I forgot to ask whether the Hawaiians wanted an integrated system. And so after about a year and a half, it was clear that the islanders were happy with the care that we were giving them, but no one was interested really in creating an ongoing program. And so that kind of faded away. So Joel, what kinds of experience have you had with that healing tradition?
Well, when I first got here in 89, I was very interested in these sorts of things. And I found that there wasn't much open to what we call Haoles out here, which are foreigners, white people. It wasn't really open to us. What there was out there wasn't really open. And it was questionable how much there was out there. I would hear stories from some Hawaiian folks about who they went to see and what happened and whatnot. And it just didn't seem, even back then, that there was a whole lot of real traditional Hawaiian medicine still being played out. There were a few herbalists. There were a few people that did the huli stomach, that they worked on your belly and moved a few organs around and cured that way. But beyond that, I was pretty disappointed that I couldn't really find a whole lot of Native Hawaiian healing.
You'll find, though, that there's still a lot of respect. and for the herbal traditions and for other traditions. Certainly, I'm not an expert in kahuna medicine, even though I've lived on the Big Island for 10 years. And I'm happy to have Neil and Joel both here in my man cave and on the Big Island. I was trying to form my ties, but Neil said only after the show is done. I said, dang, you know. But when looking at the healing arts here, you'll find that even standard medicines, such as the local hospital, when they do a fundraiser, instead of having silver, gold, and platinum levels like in Washington, D.C., when they have fundraisers, they have things like the noni level and the aloe level for the top people who give the most money. So there's an inherent respect, I think, for the land, for the aina, for the herbs and the herbal approaches. A friend of mine is also a kahuna who's native Hawaiian, lived his whole life here. And when I've seen him work, and I don't know much or most of what he's doing, but I've seen that there's a tendency to respect the gods and goddesses. And it's not like in Western where we think of God as of the god. It's really in Hawaii, there's a recognition that there's spirits at many levels. We have human beings, we have native elementals, we have Minihuni, and they're not the people, they're not ones that we revere and pray to so much. They're friends. And the kahuna was very clear that these are friends. Pele, for example, who's my favorite goddess here, and arguably probably my favorite goddess outside
of... And should be, since you live on an island with an active volcano.
Well, because she's a really sweet being, you know. And these are very real in the culture. These are experiences and beings, and they're friends. They're not beings to be worshipped or treated as... in the West, we do gods and goddesses. They're part of the natural milieu of the island. They're simply part of what is friends friends and family, really.
Well, back when I first got interested in the kahuna system, there were a series of books that had been written by Max Freedom Long. And he was on the islands at a time when kahuna medicine was perhaps at its height. And he was able to observe a lot of the healing traditions. And so part of my excitement in coming here back in 90 to work with kahunas, and I did have the opportunity to do that, my understanding is that on a very deep level, one of the essences of the deeper kahuna ceremonies is to get the person or patient in touch with the highest level of their own being. Literally, there is a perfect energetic representation of that being, and the kahuna essentially finds a spiritual way to connect to that and then connect the patient or person with that, and that's where the healing comes from. Now, what I find particularly interesting is that is identical to some of my osteopathic healing traditions in which the same thing is done. The osteopath attempts energetically to get a person in touch with their individual highest healing, purest healing system and make that connection. And it is from that that we sometimes see some healings. Joel?
Yeah, the idea of being out of balance is a very big part of the energetic aspect of thinking Hawaiian, so to speak. So we have a saying out here is being pono, and that means being righteous or being right with the land, with your family, with yourself. And to a large extent, I see the spiritual aspects of the Hawaiian practitioners as a way looking into those elements that are out of balance and helping someone to come back more into being pono, being right with themselves and with their family and with the aina, with the land.
Right. So another way to say it is in the mainland, more Caucasian systems, is a good therapist, a good practitioner can help, life coach, if you will, can help you get in touch in a similar way. But the key being that you want to get the entire energetic, emotional, and spiritual being to come into alignment. And we find that particularly important in the patients that I see, and Jacob sees, and that you see, Joel, where we see some of the patients who are the sickest. They are already very, very depleted biologically. Their systems are shut down. Their adrenals and thyroids aren't working well. Their guts aren't doing very well. Their immune systems are at war with themselves sometimes. And often, unless we can also address the emotional and spiritual aspects for those folk, working purely on the physical plane is sometimes not enough.
And it's an interesting thing, because in medicine, it's funny how, coming out of medical school, I felt I was the all-knowing MD, and that basically everything that could help people to get better and to heal was part of medicine or those other fields like physical therapy and such that were slaves to medicine, were taught. I figured the impression I had is that there were maybe 2% of things that could help people that doctors didn't know about, that other quacks would kind of do, that were maybe cute things. And now after 35 plus years in medicine, it's pretty clear that what standard medicine, called allopathic medicine, has to offer is, on a good day, maybe 20% of what can help people. And a big part of medicine is to disempower people, to make them think that if you can get yourself better, well, that was a placebo effect, which means you're crazy in the first place and never had the disease. But if you look at studies throughout time, one of the most consistently and powerfully effective treatments is the so-called placebo effect, which is the ability of the individual to heal themselves once they believe that it's possible, and two, once they're not in conflict with themselves. I see often with illnesses that part of any illness is people have to learn how they can achieve what they want without the illness. It's called secondary gains in medicine. How does the illness serve you? And by teaching people, by the concept of pono, being in alignment with yourself, you can have the gain be conscious and primary. You don't need to make excuses through an illness. It's an important part of healing.
You know, part of when I see patients, it's kind of a rapid-fire thing, though I spend quite a bit of time with people. A new patient will be an hour, so we really get to talk to each other and get to know each other. I have to rapidly come to an assessment, trying to get to the root of a problem instead of the manifestations of the problem. I need to find out, is this primarily, using a holistic model, is this primarily a physical origin, mental, emotional, or spiritual? And that will direct my energies very significantly. Most of the people that come have generally been worked through the physical process in a major way, and they don't need more of that. That's not what I can do better than Mayo Clinic. So I leave that to the specialist. But where I can really help them is really finding the mental-emotional imbalance or the spiritual imbalance, and that's where things really start to get interesting.
Absolutely. So we're going to pick that thread up in a bit. After a few words from our wonderful sponsors, I would first like to mention to you the company BioResource. BioResource at 800-203-3775, which is BioResource Inc., is a company that's been located in Northern California for many years and produce and allow us to receive some superb homeopathic remedies that are made in Germany. Now, particularly relevant to this show, perhaps, would be their product Radinex, R-A-D-I-N-E-X, which is an oral drop that allows the body to heal energetically, particularly from energetic insults, which would include even things like maybe some radiation exposure or some electromagnetic exposures, which might be relevant in this context. The other product that they use to let our listeners know about is their detox kit, which consists of Apostom, Itiris, and Renalix, all of which are excellent detoxificational issues relevant to our program. So that's bioresource.com. The second sponsor I'd like to mention at this particular time is frequency-specific microcurrent. Frequency-specific microcurrent is a superb device which can energetically heal a wide variety of illnesses, very relevant to our conversation. So please go to frequency-specific.com for further information. And with that, we'll go to a break.
life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
Healthcare professionals spend a lot of time keeping the rest of us from losing it, getting too stressed out, and from burning out. But who helps the healthcare professional from avoiding the same things? A professional coach can help you avoid burnout, and by doing so, lead a healthier life. Tune in to Dr. Raji Menon's Stress Busters Corner. We're here to help those who help everyone else. We help them avoid burnout themselves. Tune in every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Follow us on Twitter at Voice America TRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's Voice America TRN.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan and Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan@earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, and I'm joined by my friend and co-host, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, and we are also joined by my friend and guest, Dr. Joel Friedman from Kula, Maui. We've been talking about spiritual healing. During the break, Dr. Friedman talked about the need of addressing these spiritual and emotional aspects of healing. And one of the comments that I would like to make about that is that for many of my patients, even though that is, I think, important and critical, often they can't get to that until they address the physical component first. And so in terms of the hierarchy of what we start with, I often find myself using the physical plane to create a therapeutic alliance, a bridge, a connection to my patient, and once that's made, then they will often trust me enough to move into the next sphere. Now, I have seen over the years a number of remarkable healing experiences that I can't explain, but I think need to be studied. For example, there is a healing technique that I first read about, and I know, Joel, you did as well. It was a book written called Arrigo, Surgeon of the Rusty Knife. He was a Brazilian faith healer who healed literally thousands and thousands of patients with some unusual techniques. Part of it was, as Joel vividly described to us just a few minutes ago, he would take a pocket knife that was not sterilized, take it out of his pocket, and place it in the eyeball, both surgically sometimes to remove cataracts, and he also used it to make a diagnosis that somehow, by moving that knife inside of the eyeball, he would pick up therapeutic information that allowed him to prescribe herbs and do a variety of spiritual healings, which were otherwise inexplicable. Now, I realize what that must sound to people hearing that for the first time, but I'll say that I've had several patients who were extremely ill patients with Lyme disease. They were not functional. They could barely walk into the office. And I had one of them went down to Cuba, where she was able to meet with one of those spiritual healers who did exactly that. And what I can say is that she came back to the office 2 weeks later, 80% better, incredibly improved in a way that I do not know any medical scientific breakthrough that could achieve that with that rapidity. And so rather than write this off as foolishness. I think we need to study this and really pay attention to this as another way to somehow access the immune system and do something.
Well, it's an interesting thing. One of the ways that I put myself through medical school was working as a nurse in the children's hospital, including on the burn unit. And I actually studied hypnosis then, because what you find is that, one, for the dressing changes, because otherwise it would be very, very painful. What I found is that if I got a burn, and they didn't call me Kid Grace for nothing, I could fall off the steps and I'd burn myself without even thinking day in and day out. If I simply used a hypnotic thing and told my immune system, no injury, don't worry, that area would not blister ever. It might turn white and hard and fall off the skin if the burn is bad enough. But we learned that you can direct the immunity. Now, it's a funny thing in medicine, again, is that, you know, if you have somebody who goes to a healer, especially if they do something kind of odd, but and a lot of my patients would say their experiences with doctors have been worse than somebody poking a knife in their eye. I mean, it gets pretty nasty in both ways. But we just kind of scoff at the others and figure, well, obviously if the person got well, they weren't sick in the first place. They were just crazy. Reminds me in the resident when he had this person who was dying, and I had wrote this order with another resident for this treatment, and the next day the person was well, and we were both patting ourselves on the back, all full of ourselves, when the nurse came over and said, oh, doctor, doctor, I'm so sorry, we never saw that order you wrote. But, you know, if we can start to open our minds a bit, even to things that look different, and start to study them, Neil, as you say, as opposed to doing, how did Winston Churchill say, oh, I think you must have been talking about doctors. You said, we often stumble over the truth, but fortunately, usually get up, brush yourselves off quickly, and walk away before any real harm is done. The problem that Neil, I, and Joel, I suspect you as well, have gotten into is we have the bad habit of when we stumble over the truth, we take a moment to look at what we tripped over, and that's made all the difference.
Well, Joel, I know that you've had experience. There was a healer that came to Maui several years ago who was doing this kind of work, and you had a chance to observe that firsthand.
Well, he not only did this work, he was the energy that whatever animated Origo in the late 70s that John Fuller wrote about. Origo died in a violent car accident, and then there was a lapse of time when it just seemed like the phenomenon was dead, but then this fellow showed up and claiming the mantle of Origo. So he assumed the same roles, and people would flock from all over that part of Brazil to see this guy. His name was Rubens Faria, and he was an engineer, educated guy, but he would go into trance, and in trance, these things would happen. When he went into trance, he would just sit there for a moment, and then something would come over him, and whenever he was in trance, he was remarkably consistent. In real life, the man was a crazy guy. He was a madman. Like a kid with ADD or something. This guy was all over the place, chasing women, just causing havoc wherever he went. But whenever he got into a trance state, it was remarkably consistent. And when he was in trance and doing his work, he would go for hours and hours and hours. He wouldn't drink. He wouldn't eat. There were no biological functions happening. I never saw him pee. And I was accompanying him. I was right next to him, full work days. And he would just keep going and going and going. So we watched a lot of this. I watched a lot of this. And I watched the healings that were taking place. And, you know, we really did have to kind of put him on a leash, because he was doing stuff that was going to, and all of us were going to end up in jail real quick. And I convened the group. I said, this cannot be. We have to have some limits to what. This is not Brazil. He can't do what he does in Brazil here. This is not going to happen. So we really constrained him, and he, you know, reluctantly went along with it. So we do a lot of hands-on work, and some surgeries were done unbeknownst to me. So I was not a part of that. I was a little scared of, you know, what might happen. But there were a number of remarkable things that happened. But actually, some of the more remarkable things from my memory was actually my conversations with him when he was in trance. So the story that he would give people, that he's this dead German doctor from World War I that was inhabiting these people's spirit and working on the people and healing them, which when you think about it, it placated a lot of people. That kind of argument, it actually satisfied people's, they went, oh, okay. It's like, what do you mean, oh, okay? What? number one, a dead German doctor, a guy speaking in a language that he's never learned, and healing people. There's nothing okay about it. There's nothing normal about this at all, but intriguing to the max. So during sessions, I would sit and I would ask him questions, and he would be remarkably consistent, and he would respectfully answer them. So after a while, I figured that this guy is not who he says he is. There's something else going on here. And I asked him, so I said, who are you really? He looks at me with eyes that just pierced right through. I mean, off into it. He says, you wouldn't understand. I go, well, that probably is so, but try me. I need to hear it from you. He says, it's not who I am, it's who we are. And we are a conglomerate from the Pleiades. I go, oh, like that's supposed to satisfy my curiosity. Okay, so you're a conglomerate from this? What are you doing here? You know, what you're here and you're doing all these healings, what's the point? He says, well, we're trying to wake the people up. I go, odd way to do it, but okay, I'll play, I'll bite. And I said, how successful do you think you are? And he goes like this. He kind of waves, he waves his hand, meaning so-so. I go, okay, so let me connect the dot here. You're from the Pleiades. Somehow your energy is here. You've happened to somebody's body, and you're getting 30% results? That stinks. I'm sorry, but that stinks. You're from the Pleiades. You got here. Don't you think you could upgrade your program to really wake people up in a more efficient, more comprehensive way? He just shrugged his shoulders. He said, well, these are our marching orders. It was a very curious thing.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. It was a big wow. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, in some ways, what you're describing isn't particularly different than a kind of the New Age concept of spirit guides or of other beings who hover around us to help us, guide us, angels, if you will, protect us. Most spiritual traditions have some component of a part of the energetic that's not you that helps guide you in making decisions and doing things properly and correctly.
Yeah, at this point, I must give you a quick anecdote of a patient that came to see me several years back. This was a Hawaiian fellow from Hana, real Hawaiian guy, who's an arborist. He fell from the ladder down the tree, and as he went down, a branch poked him right below his eye, fractured his orbit, and he had what we call blowout fracture. So when I saw him, he was double vision. One eye was literally down and back. And the only thing I could say to him is that, well, very nice to meet you. Go to the emergency room. Get this fixed. There's nothing in my training or nothing I've ever heard about that would intimate to me that I had the least ability to deal with this short of telling him to go get surgery. He says, well, I've been told to come see you. And I said, yeah, and I'm telling you to go to the emergency room and get this fixed. He would not leave. And at this point, I've tried this two or three times, I'm really starting to get agitated in my being. It's like, you're speaking English, are you understanding me? I'm trying to communicate, I cannot help you. He would not leave. At that point, I realized, okay, something very odd is afoot here. Let me just go with this. He says, will you just try? I go, okay. So he lied down on the table. I said, okay, I'll placate him for a few minutes, and he'll go get it fixed in the emergency room. So I'm sitting there, and as you know, we're steeped in cranial knowledge, so we know how to touch people, especially on the face and head, and really tune in to a deeper rhythm. And I said, okay, let me just tune in. So I put my fingers around his orbit, and I just closed my eyes, and I just sat there. Thought I'd give it 5 minutes, and I'd send him on his way. Well, within a couple minutes, there's things happening in my fingertips. My eyes are closed. I'm feeling energy moving, almost like I'm picking a combination lock that was not me. I know nothing how to fix these sorts of things, nor do I know anybody that does, or anybody that ever claimed that they knew. So this happened. This went on for, I guesstimate, 3-4 minutes. And then it stopped. It was very palpable. Then it stopped. And at some point I realized I'm going to have to open my eyes and face the music here. So I had either had the most imaginative experience ever or something really happened. So I take my hand up. I open my eyes. His eye is back in its proper place. Double vision was gone. he was instantaneously healed. And I will leave you to interpret that in your own way. True story.
And we will in a moment here. Let me take a few moments, however, to comment on several other of our wonderful sponsors that will allow this program to be possible. I would like to mention Researched Nutritionals. Researched Nutritionals is well known for its specialty immune, energy, and detox formulations that promote a healthier quality of life for our most difficult patients. Conducting research for many years on its products, these are products that I use every day in my practice. For today's program, I thought I'd mention their glutathione formulation because that's particularly connected to helping raise energy in the body. Their product is called Tri-Fortify Orange. This very absorbable form of reduced glutathione will really help them improve their energetic makeup. So, again, I would encourage you to go to researchednutritionals.com or call 800-755-3402 for more information. And the second product that I would like to bring to our listeners' attention is that of the Argentin 23 line of products from Natural Immunogenics. Natural Immunogenics at natural-immunogenics.com make the most absorbable, most effective forms of colloidal silver, hydrosol silver, on the market that I'm aware of. So please contact them for more information at 888-328-8840. And with that, we'll go to a break.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
Good childhood mental health is critically important. Early patterns of emotions and thinking shape children's behavior from preschool into the teen years and beyond. But understanding young kids can be a challenge. Tune in to Child Psych Central, Discover the Kid Brain, with Dr. Beth Onofrack. Each week, we will reveal how brain function and child development drive young children's daily behavior. Listen every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. It's one of the best things that you can do as a parent.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan and Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan@earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, joined by my friend and co-host, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, and we are joined by our friend and guest, Joel Friedman. And Dr. Friedman has really shared with us a fascinating story that I think gets to the heart of beginning to understand what we don't understand and beginning to look at things that are beyond our ability to know how did that happen, but it happened. Rather than throw away the baby with the bathwater and say, gosh, that wasn't possible, it happened. And so we need to study this and really learn and understand more. So, Jacob, I know you have some thoughts on that, so why don't you begin?
Well, it's an interesting thing that most traditions will have a healing aspect to tradition. I grew up in a Hasidic Jewish background where the Rebbe, the old healer in the communities, supposedly would look at the individual and look into their third eye and see all of their past lives back to what's called Adam Kadmon, or the first man. So if you look at classic Hasidic tradition, old Eastern European Jewish, these traditions exist even back then, and they were very helpful. Most every culture will have things that look odd from the outside. It's funny, and it's like in religions. We all have our creation myths and the rest, and isn't it funny how everybody else is so bizarre and stupid, and how could they possibly believe that, except for our own, of course. And in medicine, we're the same. For example, in cancer, we'll take people, and we have cells that are dividing out of control. They're not outside invaders like infections, but they're our own cells that have lost their ability to learn when to turn on, when to turn off, when to double and divide and when not. And instead of trying to restore and heal those cells so that they can stop dividing inappropriately and do the normal process of shutting down when they're beyond hope, called apoptosis, it's a normal cell function, instead we damage the cells further with chemo and radiation and drive these cells further out of control, where one would expect that they would continue, you know, if you don't kill them, to divide with even less regulation. And again, there's times that it's needed. And in medicine, like say, the question is, okay, when do I go to my standard doctor? When do I follow their advice? And when do I go, well, time to get a second opinion from another perspective? And I'm going to recommend a very simple rule of thumb. How does that feel to you? When you go to the doctor, if what the doctor, one, if they say they can help, and two, if they recommend something and you go, okay, I feel comfortable with that, then I would recommend go ahead and do that. But if your gut is saying, run away, it's time to get a second opinion, either from another physician or from somebody from a totally different perspective, whether a naturopath, an herbalist, and sometimes even a healer. Also, when your doctor says they can't help you, it doesn't mean you should go home and die, even for things like cancer. It means, oh, well, thank you for being honest, and then go find somebody who can. And we'll talk a little bit about cancer and Alzheimer's. Those are two things that I'm studying and writing on now. And we'll talk about other things. But I'm starting to come to the point where there's very little that can't be healed. And Neil, as you said earlier, you talked about the importance of treating not just the physical, and it's critical. If you have some root cancer, you've got to treat the physical, MS, fibromyalgia, arthritis, other kinds of pain. However, at the end of the day, the most powerful, persistent healings occur when the person has later down the line gotten to the point where they can ask the question, how does this illness serve me? Whether it's cancer, pain, anything else, it's a hard question to ask. But if you can do so, even if it takes a couple shots of tequila to get in that state of mind, and honestly recognize, oh, it serves me this way, and then take care of allowing yourself that without the illness, it's an important part of the healing process. It's funny, my mom was in Auschwitz. The first time I ever saw her truly be happy in her life was after she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. That's when she was finally able to let go of her survivor guilt of seeing most of her family, her both her parents, most of these people die, and she lived. And it was only when she had the pancreatic cancer that she could finally start enjoying herself.
I find that as patients begin to heal, then I have to begin to ask them to start thinking about what is your life going to be like when you're well. Because, again, my practice is not typical of everyone else's. The people that I am working with are unusually sick and have been for many, many, many years. And as they start to move towards health, I need to bring up the discussion early on, okay, can you begin to envision a life in which you are well? And many of my patients, surprisingly, begin to be upset because they realize they can't. And they have to begin that part of the journey early so that we don't get to the point that they're physically much better and they have no idea what to do with it.
Well, it's scary. I mean, you've had no job. Your whole relationship in life is built around the illness. It's a scary transition to go back. Mm-hmm. And one of the key lessons I have to teach people is, if if I get you well so you can go back to a life that you hate, the same life that made you sick in the first place, one, I've done nothing for you. And two, I can pretty much guarantee that your body will find another way to take you out of the game. Often it'll be a car crash. It will always, every single time, be the other person's fault. But you know, people who have not done that piece of the healing process, something else comes and takes them out of the game again.
Right. And I know, Joel, you work with this a great deal in terms of how do you shift people's energies? Because in a way, being stuck physically, they are the mind, body, spirit, body, all one. We break it apart for purposes of discussion, but it's just one.
Yeah. So let me say this. What Jacob is saying is invariably true, though to get a patient to that point where framed in that way, it's almost like they have created this illness for some secondary gain. And while that may be true, it is a very tough place to bring somebody to. Maybe some do, no question about it. And others, it's not so clear. So what I try to do with this very, very succinctly is I view these issues as issues of connectedness and lack thereof. And we are seeing an absolute, we haven't mentioned the D word yet, depression. We are witnessing an absolute cascade. It is just an avalanche of depression over the past 20, 30 years. And I think this could be a one or two shows in and of itself, quite frankly. This is a big, big topic. But in a nutshell, for me, I think one of the major elements of it is that we have lost our sense of belonging. We have lost our sense of being connected. Oftentimes, even in a nuclear family, nobody's connected. They don't sit down to eat. They don't talk to each other. They don't know what's going on in their own lives, let alone the other's internal lives. So it's a loss of connectivity. And when we're connected, all is well in the world. And when we're not connected, trouble is not far behind. And I think what we all see in practice is the end result of being not connected.
And it's funny, people are more connected than ever in human history because of iPhones, cell phones, things along those lines. And yet, you can see a group of five kids sitting together having dinner with not a one talking to each other, all playing on the phone. So it's that paradox of most connected ever and still very disconnected.
So let me address that, if I may, because it's not a paradox for me, because the connection I'm talking about is connected with Source. Connected with our maker, connected with ourselves. And that is the connectedness that I'm speaking of. And funny enough, when I present this to people, and I do a lot of this talk because I'm using ketamine therapeutically for this very reason, with depression, acute suicidal ideation, and this is the talk that we have prior to going under, so to speak, having a session, is the aspect of the lack of connectivity with our maker. And when I speak this, no matter what the person's background is, I ask them, I say, do those words have any meaning to you? 100% yes. Yes, yes, yes. And it's, you're absolutely right. I'm not connected. And how do I connect? And what do I connect to? I said, well, funny you should come here because it's what we're going to do today.
And we will discuss this much more. First, I'd like to mention yet another of our wonderful sponsors, and it is Real Time Laboratories at realtimelab.com. They are 855-692-6767. And these are the folks that do the premier mold testing in the country. The test that they have developed, which has revolutionized our ability to understand and work with mold toxicity, is a urine mycotoxin test in which the urine can be looked at and analyzed from the three main mold toxins that we are aware of and work with. So please connect with them at realtimelab.com to learn more. And with that, we'll go to a break.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
Ayurveda and yoga are ancient sciences to achieve complete health of body, mind, and spirit. But there are many misconceptions about them. By making the science of life a way of life, managing health and preventing disease becomes second nature. Tune in to According to Ayurveda and Yoga with host Ann Holiday. Ann is an Ayurvedic professional and world traveler. She will show you how to apply the principles of holistic medicine to modern living. Join the conversation with her and well-known guests in the field of Ayurveda and yoga. Tune in every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan and Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan@earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, joined by my friend and co-host, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, and we are joined by my friend and guest, Dr. Joel Friedman. And we've been having a fascinating discussion about spiritual, emotional, energetic healing. And Joel, just before we went to break, you used the word connection. And what's really fascinating to me is that connection is a word that is used by the folks that bring you smartphones, iPads, everything, and yet it's an electromagnetic connection. It is what I would call even a pseudo connection. It's not connecting you to, as you said, your maker, the natural world, your inner self. It in fact distances you from that. And although I am, if you will, a dinosaur and an old fuddy-duddy, I just think that this is taking us to a place that is not healthy, manifested by this incredible increase in disconnectedness and depression that we're seeing globally.
Absolutely. And, you know, what I find in having looked at healing cultures from around the world is one of the most important parts of healing is what's called attunement, or it's called at-one-ment, where the individual tunes into themselves and turns into spirit, tune into spirit. And whether you're using a scalpel or medicine or herbals or energy healing or whatever you're doing, it then seems to work a whole lot better. I've been amazed in my practice how people are really comfortable talking about this. You know, as an MD, we're taught you never talk about religion, you never talk about spirit, you never talk about this, really the psyche in real terms. But people are thirsty, they're hungry for that. They really want to hear about it. I want to mention a couple quick things, because you talked, Joel, about depression. And we see some remarkable things using 5-HTP, 200, works within a couple days for depression, even though it's supposed to take weeks. Curcumin, two recent double-blind studies showed that the curcumin, but it has to be a form called Curamed, which is BCM95, was more effective than the antidepressants. And I like to give 750 milligrams twice a day. For people with heart failure, it's funny, I want to just tell a Hawaii story, and I'm going to run it back. There was a fellow that I met here who was an engineer, and his doctor had said, you have heart failure, you're going to be dead in a couple months. Go home and die. And they lived in Alaska, and instead of his wife, because they were very smart, said, they're not going to freeze to death in Alaska. If you're going to die, go to Hawaii where it's warm. And I'm talking to the guy, and I say, you know, your doctor's right when he said there's nothing vague. And I gave him a recipe. I gave him ribose, 5 grams, 3 times a day, coenzyme Q10, acetyl-carnitine, and basically a vitamin powder that has B vitamins and magnesium. I get an email several years later, subject header, you saved my life. He was out walking and doing great. So when your doctor says they can't help you, there's a lot that still can be done. Even using, it's interesting you mentioned ketamine, which has been shown to help depression in low doses. It's been shown to help fibromyalgia when given intravenously. But we forget the importance of connectedness. And Joel, I'd love for you to talk more about that.
Yes. Being in the front lines and really seeing people for 30 years now, watching more and more and more depression is just curious, because in the 80s, during the Clinton years, when economically people were doing really good, Prozac was just going through the roof. Sales of these SSRIs were going through the roof. And to this day now, these antidepressant, antipsychotic drugs are the number one category of drug sales. The runner-up isn't even close. And I'm looking at this going, are we this sick? Are we this sick? This is pathetic. I wonder why, because economically, we most people are doing relatively okay. I mean,
right,
not
but
third world.
Apparently, we are this sick because people from the Pleiades need to come here and help us to get back online.
Point well taken.
Okay.
Point well taken. So, at any rate, I've been looking at all this, and the ketamine thing came about in a very interesting way several years back. A young kid that I've known since birth came, called me on the phone and says, look, my mom's in the psych unit. Can you come here and give her a shot of ketamine? I'm going, what? What? So I said, let me look into it. I can't do it, but when she gets out, maybe we'll talk about it. So I started to do the research, and lo and behold, Yale, of all people, have spearheaded a lot of the research on this, using it for suicidal ideation. And this was intriguing because, you know, those, the three of us know, when someone comes in saying they're suicidal, we don't have anything for them. Well, here, take this antidepressant drug, and oh, by the way, you may be more suicidal. This is not the kind of thing people want to hear. So this came my way, and as fate would have it, the very next day, God sends me someone that was suicidal. So I said, funny you should come today. You know? So I talk him through it, and I said, okay, this is what we're going to do, and if you want to do it, let's do it. He says, I'll do anything. So he gets on the table, and I said, oh, by the way, before we do this, can you rate your level of suicidal ideation, 0 to 10, 10 being pass me the gun? He says, about 9.5. Oh, whoa. Okay, so he lies down. I give him a quick injection of like 25 milligrams of ketamine IV, put some headphones on him because you're sensitive to sound, and he just kind of closed his eyes, and about 15 minutes later, his eyes open up, and the first word out of his mouth was, wow, which is almost everybody's first word when they come out of this experience. And we get to talking a little bit, and I said, oh, by the way, before you leave, what's your level of suicidal ideation? Thinking it'd be 7, 8, if I'm lucky. He said, 0. And then I knew, okay, we're on to something big. This one, I'm gonna grab hold of this and run with it. So I have been using it consistently for the past couple of years with amazing results, and it is about connecting with Source. That's what this is, ultimately. And when we're connected, the world is good. It's a wonderful life. When we're not connected, I don't care what your external circumstances are, life is terrible if we're not connected.
Well, it's an interesting thing too, Joel, because we can look at that same experience you just described in many ways. From a medical point of view, the ketamine is an NMDA receptor antagonist. So where we talk about serotonin, we talk about inflammation, all of these help depression. This is one piece that helps pain. It's been shown in fibromyalgia to help pain. It also, Terence McKenna has called it, when he talked to a Buddhist monk, he said, that's the closest you can come to the gates of Bardo and still come back, which would be the gates of heaven. So each culture will experience it. When the Dalai Lama comes in, and it was funny, they had their healers do an experience. So they can be described in many ways looking at the exact same thing.
Thanks, Jacob. Well, I hope we have introduced a very important subject to you all, and I hope this will get you all thinking about what is healing, what constitutes it, and how do you reach it personally in your own way. So thank you, Joel. Thanks very much for being here today. And I would like to welcome you all next week, when we will have Dr. Frank Schellenberger talk with us about ozone therapy, another groundbreaking way to go. So thank you all for listening, and be well.
Thank you.
Thank you again for joining us for The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. Please join Dr. Neil Nathan and co-host Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum again next Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time and 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. And this week, apply what you've learned today to enjoy better health.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.